CBS News brief. Officials in Colorado say an Egyptian man who threw homemade firebombs into a group showing support for Israeli hostages was motivated by anti-Semitism. Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruhl.
My office has charged Mohammed Sabri Solomon, age 45, with the commission of a hate crime.
Local officials say at least 27 were killed today in Israeli strikes on Palestinians trying to get an aid distribution center in Gaza. CBS's MTS Tayyab.
For the third day in a row, chaos at Gaza's Nasser Hospital as those suffering from gunshot wounds were rushed for treatment. Inside, more injured. And the remains of the dead.
Exit polls in South Korea project the liberal candidate Lee Jae-myung will succeed Kim Suk-yeol, who was removed from office after declaring martial law. BBC's Jean McKenzie.
This is such a symbolic election for South Koreans who came so close to having their democratic rights removed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. In a story we've been following, the National Weather Service is facing severe staffing shortages. And none of its Wisconsin offices currently have a chief meteorologist on staff. Savannah Tolme Olson has the latest.
Earlier this year, Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency cut or offered an approved early retirement to more than 500 employees of the National Weather Service, which monitors our severe weather, issues warnings, and surveys emergencies. And now, 30 NWS offices across the nation are without a chief meteorologist, including all of the ones here in Wisconsin. The state is covered by five NWS posts. Green Bay, Milwaukee, and La Crosse are based here, and then northwestern Wisconsin is covered by two offices in Minnesota. But neither Green Bay, nor Milwaukee, nor La Crosse have a chief meteorologist in charge right now. The Green Bay office had been launching weather balloons twice a day for about 80 years. Those balloons go up and collect data that can help create more accurate forecasts. Because of cuts from the Trump administration, the Green Bay Post had to cut half their launches, and now they only do one per day. At least six offices in the country have had to suspend all overnight operations, meaning they're not properly staffed if there's any sort of severe weather event overnight. Now, according to reporting from CNN, the National Weather Service is about to hire about 125 new meteorologists and specialists. It's the start of hurricane season, which is expected to be more active than normal. And here at home, it's severe weather season. We've already had 22 tornadoes hit Wisconsin in 2025. On average, we usually only get 23 in a whole year. And June is the peak month for tornado activity here in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddie Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester DL Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back to back, which puts us in a bind, but you know, they've come through.
NFL Packers OTAs continue in Madison. Former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 now. Nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2, and Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. I only learned the other day what A2 is, and that the studio in Racine, oh, I don't even have it now. The studio in Racine is like N2. Yeah, is where there's one there. What's your letter? What's the Wausau letter for stations? What studio are you from?
That's a project I'll have to go on, because I think we need more people here, because since it's me and Ian across the way, we kind of know where we are, so we don't have labels that we need to do anything. That you guys have the bustling studios.
I don't see now. Again, he's got A1 in Madison, A2. The one in Racine is N, and I said, "Well, what's the Lake Wissota studio?" And they're like, "You don't get one. I don't get a letter or a designation. I'm an island out here on Lake Wissota."
I tell you, it was funny. Both on Saturday and then yesterday, I had trips. On Saturday, I took a little fun little trip to the Twin Cities area, mm-hmm. And then yesterday at a ball game, and I had to go past the signs for Lake Wissota.
Oh, sure.
And there was this one on one, I think it was on my way back both times. There must be some construction going on. And one of the roads, it says Lake Wissota. And then right under it says closed.
Uh-oh.
First thought is Kreitlow is making it a closed community. He doesn't want anybody hanging out.
It's those Trump budget cuts. We have to close the lake. We can't have nice things right now. Folks listening for the updated forecast, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is out today. Hopefully have her back tomorrow, but it's not tough to see what we're going to be facing throughout a big chunk of Wisconsin today as a cold front comes through with some showers, thunderstorms. They might be strong to severe later on. And the other weird thing, Chad, is that you're thinking, oh, the rain's going to come through and we won't have any of that Canadian wildfire smoke. No, that front is actually just ushering in more of it. It's helping it into the state. And so I literally just saw a National Weather Service update that said today, smoky rain. That's a first for me.
Well, apparently, at least there's one National Weather Service operator that has yes. full-time meteorologist. Don and Elon.
Now, I did just see a headline someplace that said that
they're hiring some new ones.
They're hiring some folks, and I had the story earlier from the Journal Sentinel about how a popular librarian for the Bad River Public Tribal Library has been reinstated again through court order, of course. And so it really does set up what I think a lot of us saw coming early on, is that Trump was going to try to make a bunch of these cuts. Obviously, he can't legally. So courts would say, no, that would be breaking the law. You can't do that. And so he can now go back to his MAGA constituency and say, hey, I tried, but the deep state wouldn't let me. No, the law wouldn't let you. You can do all kinds of things as a president. You just have to follow the law to do it. I don't think that's asking too much.
Well, also, it helps if you have some competency around you. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think so much of it has to do with, hey, if you have a game plan to, again, I mean, the idea that you go around trying to look into areas that could perhaps be a little bit more tight. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but you put a bunch of incompetence into these positions. This is what happens. It's and then all of a sudden you come out with this grandiose, you know, statements and about how much you're going to be saving, and you don't find it. Then all of a sudden the lies start coming, and it's a vicious circle. And I think number one, the incompetence was a major factor in all this. And number two, again, don't come out and make, well, we're going to find this number. Hey, you're going to find whatever you find. And I think sometimes you put yourself into a corner, and it just makes things worse than if you would have said, hey, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on, and hopefully we'll be able to find some significant savings and the like. But when you come in and say, hey, there's all this waste, fraud, and abuse, and there's all this area that we're gonna find. Well, number one, you're not going to, you know, when you don't find it, it makes you look bad. And number two, where's all the prosecutions for this waste, fraud, and abuse? Again, it's just... Well,
it's funny that you say that. That's exactly what I said yesterday. And then we posted that, and I was calling out Congressman Derek Van Orden for saying there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and yet, like, okay, show us where it is. And so he went into the civic media, you know, social media site. I don't remember if it was Facebook or something else.
Oh, man, that guy just has no time. You know,
nothing but time on his hands. And he put something in there like, kick rocks, you lying sack, or something like that. That's not a response. The response is, you're saying that there is fraud, okay? Waste, fraud, and abuse. Set aside waste because it's in the eye of the beholder. What somebody thinks is waste, somebody else doesn't. But fraud is the big thing. If somebody is actually defrauding us, the taxpayers, and we say, prove it, the congressman's response shouldn't be, kick rocks, you lying sack. It should be, yep, here it is. And the fact of the matter is, here it ain't. And you can't point to, say, one or two relatively small things and say, you see where there's this, there must be 100 others. Not necessarily. Show us. That's not too much to ask, Chad.
Doggone it, with Derek Van Orden, can't we get a little bit of class once in a while? I mean,
No. I was looking at his posts, and language alert here, folks. It's not, I'm not going to say bad words, but I'm going to tiptoe up to the line to one particular post. This is the post, the response from a member of Congress, from Derek Van Orden. His response to a particular post, and this is it literally, is F no, kick rocks, you worthless backstabbing jackass. That is an actual post from a member of Congress from the great state of Wisconsin. And that is not atypical of Derek Van Orden's social media presence. Somebody needs to wrestle the password out of his hands.
Well, I mean, frankly, it comes down to, again, at the top of their party, you have a man who does exactly the same thing. It starts right there at the top with the president of the United States, and you go to Derek Van Orden and others. What happened to the old, I guess I'm old enough, I'm sure you're old enough to remember when Republicans would talk about how they were the party of adults, that they were all these hippies over on the left. And I mean, now they just act like, you know, spoiled children all the time. And I talk about a lot about the power of the battle of ideas. I have no issue if somebody has conservative points of view, whether it's on economics or even social issues. As long as we have the argument in a way where you have a battle of ideas. Nowadays, it's just, you know, with Van Orden and Trump and others, it's about like you said, it was a great example. You pointed out a flaw in what they were saying and doing over the last 4+ months, and instead of responding and saying, "Hey, I have a response that would maybe answer your questions," instead it's just an insult.
It's insult. And
where do you go from there? I mean, it drags us into the swamp of these kind of arguments, because as much as we try, sometimes you'll come back and I try not to do that myself, but it's very difficult to have a conversation about important issues. And that's an important issue when that's, how do you respond to that? It's ridiculous.
You can't really.
And then it's like you're arguing against yourself, because this guy is just, you know, I could use a term like box of rocks, but that would be into his his
again. I just want to hear the ideas, and I'm not. All I see out of him are either insults or photo ops, and he's really good at the photo ops because I'm sorry, TV stations, newspapers in the 3rd congressional district. Please hear me again. He's a master of the photo op. I saw last week again. Congressman Van Orden tours this. Congressman Van Orden tours that, and the few times that he's ever asked a tough question on these tours, he then belittles the reporter and does not answer the question, to which I would say to the TV stations and others, don't put the story up then. Don't just do the field trip. Oh, the congressman went on a field trip. If there's no substance involved, then all you're doing, you're his press person at that point. Don't be his publicist. That's all I ask of the newspapers and the TV stations in and around the 3rd District.
Unfortunately, again, it's a trickle down from what we see nationally as well.
Yes, it is. Yep.
The guy says that's a nasty question. I mean, come on.
Just answer the question then. You mentioned being on the road. You were in Menominee last night for a Wausau West playoff baseball. How did that go? How are things looking for spring sports?
It was fun, and I just, and we talk about these things that get you all riled up and stuff, and it was such a fun experience because it was like different, because I'm in the booth, I'm sitting right to the right of the PA announcer, who happened to be a student at Menominee, who also happened to be, along with her twin brother who was hanging out there, siblings of the pitcher for Menominee. And this pitcher for Menominee had a perfect game going through 6 innings and a no-hitter with one out to go in the 7th. And, of course, high school games are 7 innings.
Oh, my.
And I'm throwing everything at the wall because there's the old adage where you're not supposed to be talking about the perfect games and the no-hitters. And I'm talking about it all the time, and she's getting a little upset with me because she's saying, you're trying to jinx my brother. I said, darn right. I've been trying to jinx your brother for 5 years here, and it's not working. And then with 2 outs in the 7th inning, it was 2-0 Menominee. West got back-to-back hits and scored 2 runs in the inning ends. And I turned to her. I said, I feel really bad now.
You should.
But it was it was really cool to see a young person like that who was, I mean, so often you get around these people that kind of bring you down. Mm-hmm. This girl had so much energy and so much passion and positivity, it just rubbed off, I think, on everybody around there. And it's like, and sometimes you think about, and I was thinking about this on the drive home, and we transfer in it to somebody like Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson likes. We could have leaders that bring the positive energy to our discussions. We could. Yes. And unfortunately now it's all based. And again, there's going to be times when we have discussions that bring in negative aspects. It's just the way it is. So even if you're a positive person, but we start now with the negative. We start there with all these discussions, and it just felt really good to be around this positivity in this environment. And I'm trying to put together in some way to be able to bring some of that to other aspects of life, because I don't know how guys like Van Orden and Johnson and the like can look at themselves in the mirror, where Ron Johnson's big projects these days is to try to investigate a guy that may have terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand how, as a human being, that's your first thought. I can make political points on a guy who's got terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I think we need to have a whole different perspective on how we have these battle of ideas, where actually bring the ideas back instead of the political points.
Yeah, but you're dealing with somebody who said, I don't know of any poor person that created a job. Said Ron Johnson last week. So, all right,
there goes my positivity.
let's end on a positive note. The Brewers' winning streak is up to 8 games after beating the Reds yesterday, coming from behind. Christian Yelich with another home run. Christian Yelich, he's back. No pun intended. Or it's just a matter of time. Come on, and I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying these are the things that, we worry about as fans. Like, okay, we're doing great. No injuries, because the pitching staff is finally, but will it last?
Well, I mean, I think for whatever reason, they just have the secret recipe when it comes to maximizing everything they have, whether it's pitching, whether it is their everyday lineup, whether it's, what Pat Murphy does, what Arnold does in the front office. It just feels like They're able to maximize.
They are. Chad Holmes, thank you so much. 98.9 WXCO. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
Sounds good.
Dan Schaefer still on the way. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
To everyone who believes big flavor makes life better, we've got something special waiting for you at Culver's.
The Colby Jack Pub Burger is back with a crave-worthy combo of fresh beef, Wisconsin Colby Jack cheese, crispy onions, and zesty A1 pepper mayo, all stacked on an everything bun. Trust us, you don't want to miss this.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I'm your host, James, here. We're being joined today by some of our favorite people. We have the Historic Point boss with us. We have Larry and Joni with us. And I'll let you guys take over the conversation in a moment. But right away, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you being here and appreciate all the work that you and the great team over there at the Historic Point bus does, keeping history alive. Really do appreciate all the work and the effort put in by you guys and the volunteers and everybody. Got some really fun events coming up that we're going to touch on. First off, I did want to mention the blacksmithing class that is happening Friday, June 6th. This is just a couple of days away, and it'll be at the Historic Point Boss. The blacksmith shop is reservation only. It does sound like the morning classes are covered, but you do have another opportunity a little bit later. You're going to want to call ahead to find out if you're able to attend that, if you're able to, you know, sign up. But I do like to bring it up just in case, even if it is all booked up, there's always next year. And, you know, something to mark on the calendar, something to keep in mind for next year if you're not able to. But it's a fun event, Larry. I know one that you guys really enjoy over there.
Yeah, it's a Pioneer Fest, and it's a two-day event, June 7th and 8th, starting at 10 o'clock and goes till 5 on the 7th, which is Saturday, and then 10 to 4 on Sunday. It's one of our larger events, so we usually have a lot of repeat people that come year after year and stuff, but we have a lot of good exhibitors as well as our normal staff that's there manning all our facilities that we have or all of our buildings. All of us that work there are volunteers, but we really enjoy being there.
Yeah.
But we, during the event, we also have a lot of exhibitors that are there doing different things, and some of the examples that we have is soap making. We have a lady that does make soap right at the site there, and And so you can learn how to do that. Joni, that's with me here, she has an event that's called Tea for Two. It's one of my wife's favorite events.
It's Tea at Two.
Tea at Two.
Joni, can you tell us a little bit about that event? What do you guys do with that?
Well, I am a character out there, so
yeah.
The character.
Yes, I apologize. I am an actor. I should have known better. You're absolutely right. Yes, the character does.
Yeah. So, my character comes in to visit Mary Wakely, and I bring a little bit of society that she left in New York when they moved out to Wisconsin, and you know, a little bit of the finer things that you don't find in the wilderness, on the river there. But we do serve three different flavors of tea and three different sweets to complement them. We talk about clothing, relationships, all kinds of great stuff, it's always fun. We have a great time.
You know, go ahead, Larry.
Excuse me, and this is a fashion show going to be before the tea at 2?
Yep, we're having a historic fashion show at 1 o'clock, yeah. And then the tea is at 2 o'clock.
Oh, it's a fun idea. So fashion from the era of that time, and you get to show a little bit of that?
Right. Historic Point Basse is a little bit different in that they don't hone in on just one era. It spans different
different generations.
Yeah. We basically have three different time frames out there. One is at the cabin cabin or the trading post. That's about the Voyageur era, that's 1600 to early 800s. Then they have the Wakely site, which is the main building that we have there, their home. And that's from about 1840 to 1860. And then we have the schoolhouse. And now it's not finished yet, but we do have the Saratoga Town Hall there. And that's the late 1800s to the early 1900s. Yeah. So we actually have three different time frames.
That's actually really nice to clarify. Thank you for that, Larry. I appreciate it. It's a great point, Larry. Again, I appreciate that. So when it comes to that you'll have the fashion show before and then the tea. How long have you been doing this, Joni? Like,
Well, you're going to age me if I tell you.
I shouldn't have asked that question. That was a really bad question. I should know better than that. But it's something that I know how popular that this particular part of the event is. And I imagine over the years, you've had the opportunity not only to do this, but see kids get older doing it that attend every year, which I hadn't thought about that part of it before. That's really cool. That's a very exciting part of it.
It's over 20 years we've been doing it.
Really? Wow. That's wonderful. I wouldn't have guessed it, but I look at you. Wouldn't have guessed it. No. I'm trying. But when it comes to that part of it, not only an exciting part of that, but one of the fun things about this event is the demonstrating the history and really getting a chance to not only pay respect to the people that paved the way for us to be here and all, but to be a reminder for the younger generations when it comes to this stuff and being a part of this in a fun way. There is all kinds of other things going on with the event as well.
Well, as they say, you only learn through history.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And with that, we have so many other things out there. If I can just a few things. And a fun thing that we have is tomahawk throwing. A lot of people love that.
Well, it's become a popular thing now.
Absolutely.
We got a shop right over by us here and everything. Yeah. We've been, as a team, itching to get over there and test it out. So, yeah, that's a cool one, Matt.
But we even have a gentleman there that's a little bit out of our time frame. He's actually talks and gives a very good representation of the Ice Age period.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little earlier than I talked.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he's got an excellent, he camps there and stuff,
awesome.
And he's got a lot of exhibits. More to our time period, we have Wisconsin River lumber rafting was a very, very big, I think that's probably what Point Basse is noted more for than anything. Was the Pioneer Road and the
Larry's our expert on the lumbering and he's in the bunkhouse. He's great.
Yeah, well,
I think our first conversation, Larry, was about that particular topic, and you blew my mind with some of the stuff you were telling me about it and everything. It's I think one of the more interesting and more important thing you guys do over there, really covering that topic. The farther we get away from it, the more fascinated young people are by the whole process. But I also think it again gives a chance to pay homage to something that we just don't see as much anymore.
Right. Oh, definitely. Yeah, because everybody out there, I think, that works there just loves history, and we love talking about it. We'll talk your ear off. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
HR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two Wisconsin counties and two cities are among hundreds of local governments listed as sanctuary jurisdictions by the Trump administration. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Officials in Madison and Milwaukee said it's unclear what landed them on the Department of Homeland Security list. Both vote heavily Democratic and have significant immigrant communities, but neither has any sort of formal declaration as a sanctuary city. Dane County and Shawano County in northeastern Wisconsin are also on the list. The Shawano County administrator said its inclusion must have been a mistake. Shawano County voted 67% for President Donald Trump in 2024. The list of more than 500 sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears in the Department of Homeland Security's website after receiving criticism for including localities that have actively supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. The department last week published the list of the jurisdictions. It said each one would receive formal notification that the government has deemed them uncooperative with federal immigration enforcement and whether they believe those jurisdictions to be in violation of any federal criminal statutes. The list was published Thursday on the department's website. By Sunday, there was a page not found error message in its place.
We're under an unhealthy air quality advisory that began around midnight and will continue until noon on Wednesday. Heavy surface smoke is moving into Wisconsin from the northwest. Air quality is unhealthy, and we could see spikes of very unhealthy as the front moves slowly from the northwest to southeast throughout the day. The DNR advises everyone to keep outdoor activities shorter and less intense. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock.
Hotcakes.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Not that anybody's counting, but the Recombobulation Area is a now 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, who is also the Civic Media political editor and who also now joins us, complete with Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt from Watching Tommy Boy. There you go, representing well. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on the morning show.
Oh, yes, joining here on the morning. I thought you were talking about joining the club, the Derek Van Orden Insult Club. I'm pleased to be a member now.
I did want you to welcome you to this exclusive club that we are both now members of people who Derek Van Orden has told to kick rocks on the internet.
He loves that phrase, kick rocks.
That is a favorite of his. But, you know, when he told me to kick rocks last year when he was disagreeing with some of my columns about why we should stop having ridiculous constitutional amendments on the ballot every 2 seconds. He told me to kick rocks. And you know what I did with that? I had a special sale at the Recombobulation Area. You could go to the recombobulationarea.com/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription. And a few dozen people joined up. So
thank you,
Derek Van Orden, for making me some money last year.
See, now that's the way that it's supposed to work. And look, I don't even know that we can do this. I was going to say, from a serious journalistic standpoint, from two political reporters talking about this.
Sure.
But it should still be a serious topic that a member of Congress who posts 45 social media posts within a 24-hour period, riddled with insults and attempts to dox people, like he tried to dox a UW Stevens Point instructor yesterday. We still should not try to normalize this, no matter who's in the White House.
It is a remarkably unhinged social media presence that Wisconsin's member of Congress from the 3rd District has. You know, it's insults all the time. It's conspiracy theories all the time. And you know what? He is not exactly an accomplished legislator.
No.
At the end of the day, either. He is someone that has not really... He was posting on Twitter the other day, and I took note of this, and he said, oh, we have workhorses and we have show ponies. There was an article in the Bulwark from a few weeks ago from Bill Leaders who wrote that talked about how unaccomplished Van Orden is as a legislator. I'll quote here directly. Of the 32 bills and resolutions Van Orden sponsored in the 118th Congress from 2023 to 2024, exactly none became law. And just three bills passed the GOP-controlled House before dying in the Senate, and a single Van Orden resolution received agreement in the House. It encourages all Americans to, quote, engage with veterans. That is the one thing that he is able to pass in Congress. So, you know, maybe a little bit less time, a little bit less tweeting. I guess I know I'm one to talk. But maybe a little bit less time tweeting and a little bit more time legislating.
You're not a member of Congress, although I would like to thank Alicia here, a Navy vet, from telling us on YouTube, kick rocks is actually a common phrase used by Navy chiefs. It actually goes, kick rocks in flip-flops, cool breeze. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now I know where he gets it from. So as we talk about some of the stories that you're following, and we're going to start in your corner of the state. Oh, wait a minute. I have to bring up Tony's comment quick. Wait, he hasn't finished the farm bill? No. Derek Van Orden has not finished the farm bill. There is no farm bill at this point.
He's too busy lying about Medicaid.
Yes. So let's get to stories there. And today is allegedly the deadline for a Milwaukee area mom and teacher's aide who has a law-abiding record to self-deport. And I'm not quite sure how this woman came to the attention of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but it sure does seem to be another case of, you know, we in the Trump administration are going to send away anybody we like, even if they have twin 9-year-old daughters who are U.S. citizens, even though we said we were just going after the criminals and terrorists. this case doesn't help their case at all.
No, this is a frustrating story. This has gotten a bit of attention here in the Milwaukee area, where you have this teacher's aide, and apologies if I butcher the pronunciation, Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee's teacher's aide, who her case has kind of become this public thing around here with a number of immigration rights advocates, you know, hoping and taking efforts and action to try and get her to be able to stay in the country. But it turns out such is not going to be the case, and she is going to be have to be deported to her home country of El Salvador. And you know, yeah, it's there was, I think, a kind of some legal issues with that this spring, where it for a minute there, she had some legal representation. It looked like it was going to be able to bank her stay. And then, and now that is not the case. And it is clear that, you know, just this, as so many other examples, of what, you know, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of the, rest of the Trump administration here, what their goals are with this mass deportation effort is not a crime fighting public safety type of initiative. It's one that is, you know, go back to the refrain from Trump's first term, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing here with this case.
It sure well, and like. And I would put even stronger language on it that it is race-based, a race-based policy that they're engaged in by and large, and that it doesn't matter that she has been a pillar of the community, has lived here for 14 years, has a family, you know, daughters who are American citizens, that she left El Salvador as a survivor of domestic abuse, human trafficking, had a brother who was killed in gang violence and feared for her own safety in coming to this country. Now, in all of that, there's nothing there that indicates, well, she's a terrorist in waiting, you know. And yet, to hear her plight, the comments on social media have been downright ghoulish. People going, well, she's illegal, you know, what part of illegal don't you understand? It's like, again, this was supposed to be about getting the undocumented immigrants who are causing trouble, who may be gang members who have joined gangs here, things like that. If you supported somebody like that, but now you're cheering when a mother is being deported at this point, somebody who would like to finish the process of becoming a citizen, it is a very sad commentary on where we are for the humanity of this country, my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and this is somebody who's had a work visa. She works at a bilingual public elementary school in Milwaukee. These are the type of people that we want to have a path to citizenship.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple immigration attorneys on a podcast at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago who were telling me just about how difficult it is to just do things legally, and that has forced so many people to into this bottleneck where they're applying for asylum. You know, if she's receiving death threats in her home country, you know, a lot of these post-World War II, you know, never again type of measures that we've taken on the world stage to be welcoming to refugees and fleeing circumstances where they're fearing for their own, where people are fearing for their own lives. That's what that policy is there for. And you think you would think that, you know, could expedite the process for these people, but such is not the case. And it is again, yes, it's like what you said. It is this is not about public safety. This is not about anything like that. There are racial tones to this, not undertones, overtones, lots of tones.
Yep.
It is a remarkably it's a sad story.
Again, to get to your point about fixing this immigration process and streamlining the process, this country has perhaps rarely in its history needed legal immigration encouraged more than now, with, you know, the baby boomers stepping off the stage, with a labor shortage that is already pronounced. This is a country that, if we want our economy to thrive, had better be more welcoming than ever to immigrants. And yet there was a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal on the table. And Donald Trump by himself said, screw that, scuttle that. We want to deport whatever people that we want. And that's how we end up with stories like this one out of Milwaukee. But we also end up with a story, a very unusual one, that deals with somebody who apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, was the victim of a crime, and yet the person that was victimizing him set things up in such a way, allegedly, that it made it look like he was threatening President Trump's life. And last I can see here, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, is still sitting in the Dodge County Jail. This is insane.
It's a wild story. And I think it is, you know, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, put this out as a press release from the main, you know, Department of Homeland Security press room and all of that, you know, saying that there is this suspect believed to be responsible for writing a letter threatening to shoot President Trump, and it was all a hoax. Well, you know what? I can't help but think that that paperwork errors like this are being used to deport people all over the country.
Oh, of course.
And if Department of Homeland Security is using paperwork errors and things like that to do that, and yet they are making very obvious ones, it seems, in this case by, you know, amplifying it to the national stage, and less than a week later finding out that this was entirely a hoax, that there was this you know, other man in prison setting up this person in it's seemingly a really obvious way that they couldn't poke holes in this. And it's just, I think it to me, the story here is that Department of Homeland Security are deporting people for the same types of problems that they themselves are committing.
Correct.
Paperwork errors.
And doing so, again, despite paperwork errors, using masked secret police, using detention facilities that are off limits even to members of Congress. Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore tried to visit inmates at this Dodge County facility and were told that they could not. And when they called a phone number that's associated with it for either ICE or another agency, that phone had been disconnected. And so there was no way for anybody to have oversight and make sure essentially that innocent people aren't behind bars in this country. And that's where we are at this point. Again, it's got all of the elements of fascism with the secret police, wearing masks, people in detention that you can't reach, trumped up charges, deporting people out of the country. I don't know what else people need to know to see what kind of country we've become. Oh, wait, I do have one more, and it deals with trains, of all things. And the fact that there's a story out there that about how there are companies that would rather work with pretty much any other country other than ours when it comes to high-speed rail, because we are so dysfunctional. This was a story I saw on the Civic Media website.
Yeah, it is. It really goes to show how broken our politics is when you see these international companies that would, you know, like to build something and make some money in the United States and build a rail service here, and finding that not only was it so difficult to do it here, it was actually easier to build a rail service in northern Africa, in Morocco, I believe the country was.
It was.
Built a rail service in Morocco. So they found that northern Africa to be less politically dysfunctional than the United States of America in the Trump term. It's wild.
This was from SNCF, which is the French National Railroad, a bullet train operator, and they pulled out of projects here in the States. And again, the quote in the news story is, they told the state they were leaving for North Africa, which was less politically dysfunctional. And that's, I mean, we use the term third world a lot, perhaps sometimes not as politically correct as we should, but in terms of undeveloped and undemocratic with a small D nation, that is exactly the kind of thing that we're dealing with here, as Dan Schaefer tells us about from the recombobulation area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
For those like myself that enjoy the finer things in life, we had lots of good food out there. We have homemade ice cream that we'll be putting out, and we have our Ma Wakely's Kitchen, which has a lot of good delicacies there for you.
Fry bread.
Fry bread is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Some of the crafty things that our vendors will be doing is some snowshoe making.
Yeah, that's
it. We have a gentleman who that does that. He's very, very good at it. The spinning and weaving, that we have a lot of that up in the house. Mm-hmm. In, I don't know if somebody else is doing that. One of the vendors, I'm not positive on that.
I'll look into that.
Well, we have a group that comes in from around the Milwaukee area. They're Civil War era, mm-hmm. but they are experts. They're the historical timekeepers,
yeah.
And they fried donut holes.
They're one of our main participants in our mm-hmm. fashion show.
Oh,
as
right.
Because well, yeah, they have some fantastic outfits.
And they are very knowledgeable.
Yeah, they really know their stuff.
And that,
they really
do. That leads us a little bit into our upcoming event in July 26th and 27th is our new Civil War event we're having out there. And I believe the historical timekeepers are coming to that as well.
They can't this year.
They can't this year. Okay.
Oh, I know they did the last year, didn't they? I think they did. Yes.
But The soldiers will be there.
Oh, right on. Yes, yes, of course.
We have both the Federal and the Confederate. We've got infantry, artillery, and cavalry. We have a medic, and there'll be demonstrations and drills and a skirmish in the afternoon for everybody to watch. We'll be shooting off the cannons, and it's fun. It'll be great.
We'll have you guys back for that. That'll be in July. Civil War days will be Saturday, July 26th, 10 to 5, and then July 27th, 11, another one. We'll have you back. We'll talk more about that then. When it comes to the Point Bass Pioneer Festival, any other things you guys wanted to touch on with that event? I know there's so much going on. Did we cover everything?
During the day, when I'm not doing tea, I'm going to be doing medicinals. And what they did for medicines and how they were prepared and what they used and things like that, because they didn't have a pharmacy here.
Right. Yeah. Boy, I understand that, but when I love history, so there's times where I'm just reading stuff and just because out of curiosity. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was reading into the history of Black River Falls the other day, and I'm going through the article, and they're talking about some of the, you know, tragedies and some of the heavy events that happen, like most history does. And in the middle of the article, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's right. Like, even I had to be reminded that they can't just go to the CVS or something like that and pick something up. And as common as that is to me, it took me a minute to. That's a really cool idea to bring that into the topic, too. And that.
We also have a gal who makes pies in the, I want to see. It's the Cast Iron Lodge, the...
Oh, yeah.
Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. Yes. Over the fire, or coals, and she makes pies. And so that's always...
But that's our... That's one thing I like to really instill in people is that Historic Point Boss is a living history site. And when you have a living history site, you don't just sit and look at stuff.
Right.
It's a hands-on. You can go to the three-bay shed that we have. They have woodworking tools. We have a gentleman that can guide you through the use, and you can actually sit down and use a draw shave. You can go to the kitchen and help out in the kitchen of the house making different things. I'm not sure what they're going to be making this year, but they usually have some tasty treats to hand out that's made right on the wood stove that's there.
How many museums can you go there and interact like this? Because that's what you're getting to do here. You're getting it's the opposite of most museums where they're encouraging you to touch things and to do things.
You actually sit down in the chairs. You don't just look at them. So, a lot of this stuff that we have, the craftsmen that are there, we're very careful for safety purposes, of course, but... we do have a lot of hands-on things, and these craftsmen that are there, not members of Point Boss necessarily, but these other members, I'm sure they're more than willing to help a little hands-on as well. Something like we have the gentleman that builds muzzle loaders, he's very talented, and has some beautiful firearms and stuff that he has there. So.
Yeah.
So there's also one of the vendors that comes, and they compare... the rich to the poor.
Oh, wow.
And that was huge. Even more so than today. So that's very interesting as well.
You know, well, the first and foremost thing I would say is certainly how family friendly and how fun these events are and everything. But again, you know, the here and there opportunities for us to remind people of not only, you know, what people went through and how they got to us to this point and everything. But there, I think there's also a perspective that comes with this too, an appreciation, not just for the past, but even what we're going through in this day and age, and sometimes realizing, you know, hey, have some perspective, have some understanding, you know, and I know for me sometimes when I think, oh, this was hard or this was difficult I went through, and then I think about my grandparents, I'm like, you know what, it isn't that bad. Actually, my stuff isn't that bad in comparison or something like that. I think that, not to make light of it or anything like that, but I think that doesn't hurt. It's one of those things that kind of reminds you of like, hey, I've got it pretty good, or I appreciate this or something.
But one example, and I've given speeches at different organizations and stuff, and one thing I talk about the lumber rafting and things like that, and one thing I like to bring out is that at a lot of the rapids where they rafted this lumber down the rapids and the fast water and the rocks and stuff, a lot of men died, and at the dams they fell off the raft and drowned and stuff, and different places there 40 men died at this dam and 40 men died at this rapids and things like that. And I said, my ending to that is kind of like, do you think this would be an OSHA-approved job today?
Right. Yeah.
So
right,
a little perspective on the past versus today.
Yeah. Well, and the amount of things that came from all those times, like that. That's a great example. It's a great one. And it's a great event. We're excited about it. Again, the Point Boss Pioneer Festival is happening Saturday, June 7th, 10 to 5, and then it'll be going on June 8th, 10 to 4. Very, very affordable. They go out of their way to make these prices the same as they've always been. So it's affordable for the community. I think it's a really cool and really, really classy thing of the Point Boss to do.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Gaza report a third day of violence with at least 27 Palestinians killed on their way to a food distribution site. Reporter Linda Gradstein with Israel's response.
The army said the troops fired warning shots and, after they did not disperse, carried out additional fire next to several suspects. Hamas says dozens of Palestinians were killed, although that could not be verified.
The Egyptian man accused of throwing homemade firebombs at a group in Boulder, Colorado, supporting Israeli hostages, is now facing a federal hate crimes charge. CBS's Anna Schechter.
What they lay out is a very cold-blooded, calculated series of plans that he carried out to a T until the end.
Millions of Americans under air quality alerts as wind continues to carry smoke into the U.S. from Canadian wildfires. CBS Minnesota's Chris Schaefer.
Air quality alert, it's widespread. It goes until about lunchtime on Wednesday before we see some improvement.
CBS News Brief.